This edition of the Campaign Chaos Book Club is brought to you by patreon.com/JURY. Welcome, everybody, to a special edition of the Politics Podcast. My name is Justin Robert Young, as per usual. And we are talking about our book reading. Oh, we had to go ahead and clear the decks. We got new books coming in about the 2016 campaign. We are going to be reading books about this campaign until the next campaign because I need it. I need it, son. I need it in my veins. I need to remember what it was like back in 2016. Oh, when there was never a dry day of news. Oh. All right. We have some new viewers here in our Twitch chat, twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. Agaster1 says this stream is racist to dyslexics. Incorrect. Because I listened to the book that we are going to be talking about today, Hacks by Donna Brazil, on audiobook, and Donna Brazil reads it herself. And unlike the book that I was unable to finish because I was reading it on audiobook, which was Hillary Clinton's What Happened, it is a boon that Donna Brazil reads her own book because she has a great voice. She has a New Orleans draw. She kind of talks like this, but it's great. It's amazing. And you understand why Donna Brazil is who she is. Why she is who she is in the role that she plays. She is a political operative. If you are unfamiliar with who Donna Brazil was prior to her becoming the head of the Democratic Party in a tumultuous fashion during the 2016 campaign, she was launched to prominence when she ran the campaign of Al Gore in 2000, which obviously came very, very close to being successful before a very, very public and history-defining Supreme Court challenge and recount in Florida. So, Donna Brazil has, from that point to this, when we meet her in this book, been a talking head. She had a contract on CNN. She was a regular Democratic operative on the Sunday morning talk shows where she would carry the water for the Democratic cause, as was her job. And was, I think, a job that she very much relished. So, first impressions of this book are that I love it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. These are the kind of books that I love so much and really has influenced what I do politically in general. What I have always loved and kind of sought to emulate was the kind of backroom Marriott bar discussion that campaign managers would have with each other. That ultimately, politics is, as we have said on this show ad nauseum, not about ideas, not about truth, justice, and the American way, not about the real will of the people. It's about there being a preset day and you having to convince more people than your opponent to walk into a booth and hit your button. The methods by which you can do that can include everything else that I just talked about. Truth, justice, righteousness, the hand of God himself. But I would say that half of this book gives you everything that you would want in that regard. The second half gets a little off the rails. But let's go ahead and talk about the best part of it. And this takes place largely in the first half. Donna Brazile does the most aggressive job that she can of lighting the Clinton campaign on fire. Like, on fire. Ooh, 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 ooh. Like that kind of fire. Flames, fire. The licking tendrils of hell, fire. She does even worse to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, my former congresswoman from South Florida. She kind of even lays a little bit of blame, about as much as she would ever do, around the neck of Barack Obama. This comes in twofold. Number one, she is horrifyingly critical about how the biggest politicians of the modern era have left the Democratic Party. Barack Obama felt no love for the Democratic Party because he had to effectively go around it to beat Hillary Clinton and therefore did not raise a lot of money for it. The Clinton campaign found the Democratic Party in horrifying debt. We are talking $40 million worth of debt. And by the time that Donna Brazile gets into her office and reads the books, she understands, and this became national news when the book was coming out, that the Hillary Clinton campaign, dig this, bailed out the Democratic Party with the idea, the agreement rather, not the idea, the agreement that the Clinton campaign, Brooklyn, New York, would get hiring, firing rights, would get powers of what they were going to spend, and would control all messaging coming out of the Democratic Party. They owned the Democratic Party. Quite simply, like, that's kind of not even controversial. They literally bought and paid for the Democratic Party. Now, you can say that if you are to defend it, which Donna Brazile, again, she's great at her job. She walks it a little back to say, okay, their point was that they were, sure, they bailed it out, but you can still run it fair once you've bailed it out, I guess. But Donna Brazile does not think that that was right, nor does she think that she had enough control. And by the time that she got into control of the party, the damage had effectively been done. Dig this. The way that it is not uncommon for a nominee of a party to take control of the party. That happens. That's de rigueur. What is odd is the fact that she took control of the party as early as she did. Play to Cinema in our chat room says, is it ethical to give questions prior to the debate? Pause. That, put a pin in that. It's my biggest criticism of the book, and we're going to get to it. The problem with this is ultimately that when Donna Brazile comes into power effectively, this is at the point where she should be handing over power to the Clinton campaign, only to find out that the Clinton campaign had been in control to a level that was unorthodox at the very least. You know, for far longer. She's, again, we said at the beginning of this that she lights Debbie Wasserman Schultz on fire. Oh, my God. You can still smell the burnt hairspray if you take a deep enough whiff of how in flagrante Debbie Wasserman Schultz was left. And considering, here's another thing. I know I see a lot of new names here, right? Here's another axiom of this podcast. There is no power but projected future power. So even as diminished as they are, Hillary Clinton will still wield influence in Democratic circles. Barack Obama is effectively liberal Reagan. So she's not going to really fuck with them. But all these people who are out, who are pariahs, oh, DB Dunn gave it to them. Oh, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is a pariah now, and she gets torn asunder. She ballooned the budget of the Democratic Party, saying that she's the one who drove it $40 million in debt. She makes the point that normally what happens in between big campaigns is you pare down the staff, not her. She says she's a bad leader. Hell, she criticizes this lady's interior decorating. Donna Brazile spends paragraphs talking about how shitty her paint selection was. Oh, my God. And then her biggest second target is the Clinton campaign. And more specifically, the head of the Clinton campaign and how they were managing the Democratic Party from afar. And specifically, that there was no shortage of sneering toward Donna Brazile that, hey, look, we needed to bring you in. And here, again, I'm shocked that we haven't gone over this, but this will be the next thing we'll talk about. The reason why Donna Brazile became the head of the Democratic Party is that on the eve of the Democratic National Convention, WikiLeaks released hacked DNC emails. This proved to be very embarrassing for Debbie Wasserman Schultz, forcing her to resign, apparently kicking and screaming. Donna Brazile did not want to become the head of the party. She had to become part of this. She had to become head of the party. She was called upon to do it. But when she did, apparently, what the Clinton campaign wanted was for her to just sit down and shut up. She was not interested in it, and she makes her opinion known. Some of the best moments in the book. There was a point in which, when Donald Trump was refusing to release his taxes, that a Donald Duck was appearing at Donald Trump rallies. This was to signify that Donald was ducking releasing his taxes. Donna Brazile thinks that this is, quite literally, Mickey Mouse bullshit. You shouldn't be distracting people with dumb stuff when you could be focusing on the issues and trying to excite your constituency. More so, considering the fact that she was also a contracted person to ABC, she was getting calls from Disney saying, why are you doing this with Disney IP? And she said, I'm not. So she had to call the Clinton campaign. Clinton campaign says we can't take Donald Duck off the road there. Why? Because reasons. Well, and it's great. This is one of those awesome reasons why it's worth it to read the audiobook, because it's in her voice and she just keeps saying, like, next thing you know, I turn on the TV and see that fucking duck again. Oh, it's great. She's great. Her voice is great. I loved every second of her just being fucking so frustrated by the fact that this duck keeps showing up. And eventually she finds out the reason why they can't get Donald Duck off the campaign trail is because it was Hillary Clinton's idea and she was in love with it. But Donna Brazile eventually let sanity reign when she reminded the Clinton campaign that they were about to go on a trip to L.A. to fundraise, one of which of the fundraisers were at Bob Iger's house. And Bob Iger would probably be happier and would hold the fundraiser if one of his decades-old, super valuable billion-dollar IPs was not being trotted out for political purposes. Yeah, for those of you just joining us here, Play 2 Cinema. And again, go ahead and get this book. I would highly recommend anybody who is into this podcast. You will enjoy this book. Donna Brazile's Hacks. Go get it on... go get it right there on Amazon. Check it out. I would highly recommend it. The other best part about it, about her shitting on the Clinton campaign, is going to visit the Clinton campaign headquarters in Brooklyn, in which she offers a maxim that is the line of the book. Big Jim has been echoing it down in the chat. I will give him one more opportunity for anybody to say it. It is an old lesson that she learned when it came to whether or not there was good vibes of the hallmarks of a successful campaign. Something that she has known for decades. The kind of old political wisdom that apparently was being eschewed by the Clinton campaign. Yes, are the kids fucking? A sign of a good campaign is whether or not your staff is having a good time drinking and fucking. How can you not love this book? This is exactly what I love. This is everything that I love in political commentary. It's just this kind of real world. How do you motivate a volunteer force to get somebody elected, to get people in a booth, to press a button? It's more so than the other person. Make them fuck or produce an environment in which fucking is conducive. Carmigan says, so, not a good look these days. No, the point here is not that the top are fucking the lowly plebes, but rather that chaos creates bonds. You know, trauma creates friendships, creates marriages. I mean, look at all these political operatives. There's a reason why half of them are married to each other, because they met each other on the campaign trail. Even in the Me Too world, there is room for consensual fucking by campaign staffs. IMO. Now let's get to the stuff that I wasn't so in love with. The second half of this book focuses far more on her understanding the hacking of the DNC. And a lot of it is Donna Brazile is an expert at politics and the stuff that she talks about in the first half of the book. The second half is her just basically her diary of understanding and explaining what happens. The worst part of the book is She really never has an answer for if she, let alone why she, gave questions to Hillary Clinton before one of the debates. And nor does she go the opposite route and out say it was forged. It's ultimately a political answer from a political person. At its best, she is talking shop. At its worst, she's doing what she's best at, which is issuing as credible a non-denial denial as she can. So she bends backwards. She bends backwards to say, I couldn't find it, but I have a lot of email accounts, and sometimes I don't know where I'm sending emails from, but I searched my emails and I couldn't find it, but I had other people with corporate emails search their corporate accounts, and they said they couldn't find it, and I think some of the other ones were faked. But ultimately, look, if you follow that email story, if there were out-and-out forgeries amongst those, the Clinton campaign and the DNC would have jumped all over it. All over it. If they would have been able to prove that these emails were forgeries, because then they could prove that these things were being used to manipulate the media. So it's a little weak sauce, in this humble podcaster's opinion, that there's a non-denial denial on that. I would have loved for her to say, hey, look, here's why I did it. I also, I gave it to Hillary this way because I would get it to Bernie another way. I wanted them to both demonstrate competency. But she doesn't. It's just kind of left, like, you know, I think Big Jim put it, she doesn't recall, and she says she does not have copies of her email, but she implies that it's faked, which to me, that's why she's good at her job, because she knows that you don't have to prove an implication. You just have to imply it. While the more effective way to do it would have been to say, hey, look, here is all my emails from that. You know, from that day, from that time, you will not find one of those. But again, that is the second half of the book. I would highly, highly, highly recommend it if you are into what I love, which is the dirt under the fingernails. What are we doing today? How do we create the messaging kind of reality of running both a party and a campaign in what we can all understand were extraordinary circumstances? Also, she drinks a lot in the book, and she has chicken wings. I love chicken wings. My new goal, I got to have chicken wings with Donna Brazile. I got to have chicken wings. I want to pitch an interview to Donna Brazile where we just eat chicken wings. I love chicken wings. Are maybe my favorite food. She loves chicken wings. She goes into this whole thing about how when she became head of the DNC, she now had to hang out at different kinds of parties, at different kinds of hotels, and she's pissed off that the hotels she had to hang out at with all the fancy donors didn't have chicken wings. She would rather hang out at the shittier bars with the better chicken wings, and I'm with her. Also, Agaster right here in the chat room says, I'm a vegetarian. Dude, go ahead and tune into my wife's stream, twitch.tv/fakegamergirl. She's got a fantastic vegan recipe for chicken wings. Also, Frank's Red Hot Buffalo Sauce, vegan. That's something that I did not know. 2018 goals, chicken wings with Donna Brazile. Absolutely. All right, guys. That is going to be it for this Campaign Chaos Book Club. I will announce now the next book that we are going to read. So go ahead and get a head start on this. Is going to be the new book by Corey Lewandowski. We're reading another campaign manager book. Let Trump Be Trump. Corey Lewandowski, David Bossy, and then narrated by Peter Beckrot, or Beckrow, I don't know. It is the inside story of the rise to presidency. If you're unfamiliar with Corey Lewandowski, he was the first campaign, the first campaign manager for Donald Trump. He got fired. He apparently spares nobody in this book. So I am very, very, very excited to read it. Go ahead and get in on this. We will be doing another one of these when we wrap up. But until next time, thank you guys so much for being a part of the Campaign Chaos Book Club. I will see you guys next time.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.